Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the podcast section of the iTunes store and clicking on the subscribe button. On today's podcast, we're excited to have an inspiring message from our youth pastor, Eric Howder. And now let's get into Eric's message for today.
Good to see everybody. Hope everybody, as Heather said, had a blessed Thanksgiving, however we celebrated it. I want to welcome everybody that's maybe out in the parking lot to our service audibly, and also those on Facebook. We welcome you if you get a chance and want to give us a thumbs up or say hello, or maybe wait to the end and maybe give us a thumbs down. I guess that's your choice. That's the great thing about Facebook. You have the option to like us or dislike us, but we hope that everyone's blessed. Today is the beginning of the Advent season, as Heather mentioned last week. So we had a little bit of Christmassy type music today, which is great. My wife's here, so she wasn't here at the 8 o'clock service, so she's not going to... I'm sorry. So there's a little story that you'll hear, and I didn't mean to throw you out there under the bus, but it happens. But Terry mentioned about frogs, and if you know me a little bit or know me well, you'll know snakes do not rate real high in my eyes. I despise them. I don't like them. It's not that I've had much interaction with snakes in my life. I just don't like them. My youngest, Ava, if we go to the zoo, she always wants to go in and see the snakes. I don't know if that's really because she likes snakes or she just wants to see my reaction. Even though we're protected, I think, between the glass barriers. But frogs are not very high on my list either. I don't like them for some reason. Again, my interaction with frogs have not been plentiful. Toads, if they fall in the same category, that's something I've had a little more interaction with. And the thing about toads is they just show up out of nowhere. For whatever reason, they'll just be sitting in the garage. And they don't move. You don't know if they're alive or dead, and you try to shoo them away, and you can't shoo them away. They just sit there, and I don't know if they're looking at you or looking at the floor, but I just don't like toads either. And sometimes a toad gets in the garage, and then sometimes somebody backs over the toad. Not me, but then the person wants you to go out and clean the toad up, and you're thinking eventually if you keep backing over it, it becomes part of the concrete, right? But another thing I don't like, as I was thinking between services, are turtles. And I thought of this story real quick. My son, when he was about 4 years old, had a small turtle. He named Boo Boo, because everybody, when they're young, names a turtle Boo Boo, right? And we had a little crate, and the thing just got, the water got dirty, and we changed it. So finally, I got tired of changing it. It smelled. I don't like the looks of turtles. So I took it down to the creek and let Boo Boo go. And did not tell my son until he saw Boo Boo was gone, and he's like, "Dad, what happened to Boo Boo?" I'm like, "Well, son, you know how I clean his water every so often? Well, I sat Boo Boo down on the ground, and he just took off, and I couldn't catch him." He believed me. I think he believed me for a while, but that's the turtle story. And so turtles, frogs, toads, and snakes I do not like. And in Exodus, as Evelyn read, you know, there's a story in Exodus about a bunch of frogs, and we wonder, why frogs? And a disclaimer before I get into this message a little bit further is, you know, it's the root of everything going on, it seems, the chaotic world that we live in, the root seems to be sin and strongholds in people's lives, whether they're in our life or people around us in their lives. You know, there's bondage. There's things that are inside of us that we keep inside. So as you listen to this message today, I encourage you to think of not necessarily of yourself, but also the people around that you see every day, maybe at work or maybe at home or family, friends. And think of this, how sin affects us, how sin affects the people around us and around the people that we love and then the world today. And I want to back up a little bit in Exodus, and God said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and tell him," God's message, "release my people so they can worship him. If you refuse to release them, I'm warning you, I'll hit the whole country with frogs. The Nile will swarm with frogs. They'll come up into your houses, into your bedrooms, and into your beds, into your servants' quarters, into your bedrooms, into your ovens, pots, pans, kitchens, wherever. There'll be frogs all over the place. They'll be all over you, all over everyone, everything, frogs everywhere, on and in everything. And I'm paraphrasing a bit. God said to Moses, tell Aaron, wave your staff over the rivers and canals and ponds, bring up the frogs on the land of Egypt. Aaron stretched his staff over the waters of Egypt, and a mob of frogs came up and covered the country. But again, the magicians of Pharaoh even did the same thing, using their power to create even more frogs. Pharaoh called in Moses and Aaron and said, pray to God to rid us of these frogs. I'll release the people so they can make their sacrifices and worship God. Moses said to Pharaoh, certainly set the time. When do you want the frogs out of here, away from your servants and people and out of your houses? You'll be rid of the frogs except for those in the Nile. Moses is telling Pharaoh, you get to tell me the time. You get to set the time. When do you want all these frogs out of here? Pharaoh says, make it tomorrow. Moses said, tomorrow it is. So you'll realize that there is no God like our God. The frogs will be gone. You and your houses and your servants and your people will be free of frogs. The only frogs left will be the ones in the Nile. Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, and Moses prayed to God about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. God responded to Moses' prayer. The frogs died off. Houses, courtyards, fields were all free of living frogs. Now they piled the frogs in heaps. Now, of course, the country reeked of dead frogs. But when Pharaoh saw that he had some breathing room now, he got stubborn again and wouldn't listen to Moses and Aaron, just as God said. Now picture the scene in Exodus. Place yourself in the shoes or in the sandals, I guess, of Moses and Aaron. They're standing before Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. And if you don't, I'll make frogs come out of the waters. Why frogs? Now, in the context of Egypt, they believe frogs were, they worship frogs as a part of the goddess in the Egyptian culture. If you go on Google and you Google the Egyptian goddess, and I won't say the name, so I don't want to butcher it. But the picture of the Egyptian goddess then would be a woman with a frog's head. This goddess was responsible for fertility and was recognized for her assistance to women in labor. And the plagues of frogs, and the plague of the frogs now, she was being portrayed as uncontrollable, not dependable. Now again, Aaron stretches his hand with the rod over the waters, and the frogs start hopping out everywhere. Picture it, from the rivers, streams, creeks, and ponds. Even Pharaoh's own magicians got in on it. Like Terry said earlier, magicians, why wouldn't they stop it? No, they just added to the issue. There are frogs everywhere. Now, can you imagine what a sight and what a sound this would be? Not only do I not like the looks of frogs, I don't like the sound of frogs either. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. But can you imagine the sight and the sound of having all those frogs? Frogs were, just imagine frogs being everywhere in the kitchen, in the ovens, in the pantry, and just everywhere throughout the land. Frogs would be in the bathroom, around the toilet, in the bathtub, in the showers. There'd even be frogs in the bed. You try to go and tell your kids or your husband or your wife or your parents, tell them good night, and there'd be frogs. Frogs up to your waist. Can't move very far because of all the frogs. And the sound would be deafening. And for the Egyptians, the frog was symbolic of one of their goddesses that they believed could breathe life into humans as a fertility goddess. So they couldn't harm or kill the frogs. The frogs were definitely a plague. But now this chaotic, teeming mass of frogs is a destructive, is in a destructive abundance. It just shows us that the disobedience of our Lord's commands leads to disorder in our world. Now, my wife and I, after we moved in, we had a little bit of a battle that went on, and I did not know it was a battle until it got to the point that it became known to me. We had a shower head that had an arm similar like this that you would move up and down. Now, me being a little bit taller, if I went in the shower, I would push it up. Her being a little challenged in the height department compared to me, she would not be able to reach it. So she would, at first, would calmly ask me, "Hey, honey, do you mind when you get out of the shower, could you reach up and simply pull it down?" I think I remembered one time. And I think she got tired of telling me. So after that, she would probably, I think, climb onto the toilet, reach across the shower, and push it down. Now, one morning in the spring, early summer, I'd went in, and I like to turn on the water warm first and just let it run to get warm. Another one of those things. And I noticed the shower head was positioned to where she would have had it, so I calmly reached up and pushed it up, and it broke off into my hand. Actually, I think it landed on my head. But in that point, the water was shooting everywhere. All over the ceiling, the toilet, the floor. I'm outing myself right now, but it was going everywhere, shooting everywhere. Minor flood in the bathroom. Now, I did eventually, my senses came to me after being knocked out by the shower head to reach up and just turn the water off. But in the meantime, in those few seconds, there was water everywhere. It was uncontrollable. But now the Egyptians had all these frogs in a sense that were uncontrollable. It's like somebody had broken off a shower head or broken off a water valve and couldn't turn off the water. They couldn't control these frogs now. They were coming from everywhere. Pharaoh finally decided enough was enough. And he told Moses to pray and ask God to stop the frogs. Moses said, "You get to tell the time when." Pharaoh says, "Tomorrow." Now, why would he have said tomorrow? One would think that a sane man in Pharaoh's place would have replied right now, immediately, "Moses, today, right this second. I can't stand it anymore. As a leader of this country, of these people, take care of it now." But no, Pharaoh said tomorrow. He must have wanted just one more night with the frogs, maybe. After all, how hard could it be to control some frogs, right? Can you hear the people say it was bad enough to have to tolerate them during the day, but now we have to go through the night as well? How are we going to sleep? Finally, the next morning came and the frogs died. Now, they didn't go back into the waters. They just died right where they were. Now again, what about the smell? What about the odor? Dead frogs, like most animals, stink. And they had to rake them up, shovel them up, and pile them high. They had to pile up the frogs. Now this may appear as a humorous little story in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, but the truth is that there are some great revelations, I think, that we can find within these verses that may reveal more about us as humans than what we may see on the surface. The question I ask sometimes of myself, and the question I ask for other people out there, do you have any frogs in your life? Many of us do, or many of us know people that do. They may be hidden, but eventually it will hop out. What are the frogs? The frogs are those little things, those little secrets, those little, we could call them pet sins, those little issues we have in our life that we keep hidden. Those little things that we tolerate in our lives that we don't want other people to find out or know about. Those sins that we think we can continue to live with that will cause no problems, when actually they're strongholds in the heart or mind that are conceived from our thoughts in our life on a daily basis. They are unrestrained, uncensored thoughts that develop quickly into strongholds in our life. They occur as we allow ourselves to be subjected to influences, feelings, and emotions as we see, as we go through our daily life, that are not holy or righteous. And believers, they are the things that weaken our resistance and harm our faith. The things that rob people of their joy and of their victory. We walk with people every day. We meet people every day that have been robbed of their joy and their victory because they don't understand the message of Jesus Christ. And these are the things that keep people from being what God wants them to be. They're the things that lessen the credibility of one's testimony as a Christian and damage one's influence as a Christian witness. Our best witness is just being who we are and believing in Christ. Understanding the gospel message. That is our best witness in our daily life. These frogs are the things that hinder our spiritual growth and our progress at times. They clog up our spiritual ears and blind our spiritual eyes. Those frogs will do to us what they did to the Egyptians. They delayed their progress, as they will ours. They distracted them from their duties, as they will ours as well. They diverted them from their daily routine, disturbed their peace, distracted them from their everyday life, denied them access to worship, and eventually developed a stench. Those frogs bring with them condemnation, fear, guilt, and shame. Those strongholds that we have in our life, that we see people have, those family and friends that have strongholds that we see, or our own strongholds that we have, will often bring condemnation, fear, guilt, and shame. Often you may try to break free from one frog, only to find yourself with more. The guilt grows. You may feel like you can never be free. Strongholds are like inner prisons within a mighty fortress that you feel like you can't break out of. You may feel like they're impenetrable, but in reality they are not through Christ. The walls can be broken down. The gates can be ripped from their hinges. The chains can be snapped like a tiny single thread. We all can be, and we know those around us can be, free of frogs. Or we know people, or we've been in situations that may have played with frogs for so long without being caught, they feel like they can continue to play with them each day. They have no sense of conviction as a result of continually overriding the voice of God. This creates a false sense of power and being invincible. Now, what may these frogs represent, maybe? They may appear as a result of unforgiveness in our life, anger in our life, bitterness, lust, pride, rebellion, bad attitudes, wrong influences, addictions of any kind, worry, fear, pornography, or drugs. Now, usually they start out pretty small. Remember, tadpoles always grow in the frogs. And they are fast developers. At first, they don't seem very threatening beneath the surface. And oftentimes, as we meet people that have these strongholds, or we went through these strongholds, we're able to cover them up. We're able to hide them underneath our outward appearances. And we can think that we have them under control, all hemmed in, confined to the river. But eventually, what's hidden beneath the surface, if not dealt with, will come forth. When the proper time comes, and with the proper source of light, we wake up one day, and there's frogs all over the place. What is held in darkness, when the light of Christ is shown on it, what happens? It comes forth. Now it's out of control. It's worse than imaginable. The strongholds and the sin that we see can always and will always be worse than we can ever imagine sometimes. We think we can handle it. We think we can control it. But in reality, we can't without God. We can't handle sin or strongholds without God. Those strongholds begin to handle us as humans. Those strongholds or sins will take you further than you want to go, make you stay longer than you want to stay in those chains, cost you more than you want to pay. James 1, 14 and 15, the book of James tells us that no man can escape it. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Now when we have those strongholds in our life, there's things we can't do to them. Things we must not do. Strongholds and sins are not like a playing thing or a toy that we just play around with and put it to a side. It's not like a teddy bear, it's more like a rattlesnake biting us continually. Now we can't control it. We can be deceived if we believe we can. No one else has ever has controlled the sin in their life. Many times people will say, I can handle it. In reality, we can't. We can't contain sin. It will corrode and eat away from the inside out. It will start to affect those around us and our families, our friends, our church communities, our occupations. It just doesn't affect the person anymore. Eventually, it affects those around the person. We can't confine it. It will affect every area of our life. The desire of a stronghold and a sin is to bind. Bind the person up. Create a stronghold that they feel like they cannot be released from. We can't conquer it on our own. We lack the willpower to bring strongholds and sin into submission. Sin and strongholds in our life and those around us can only be conquered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He alone is the only one that has defeated the sin. Now, have you ever heard people say that, or maybe we've said it at times in our own life, that I would never do that, or I would never go there. I'd never act like them or act like that. Then somehow, some way, curiosity or something gets the better of us, and we dabble just a bit in it, or we see people that we love dabble, partake in just a little bit. Whatever the addiction may be, maybe it was started out just one time. Maybe for men, you know, it was just that one look at somebody that was not your wife. Pornography is one of the main leading causes in males. It causes divorce, causes other addictions. It starts out small, just one time. No one will know, but then it begins to influence not only that individual, it begins to influence their family, their wife, begins to influence their children, begins to stretch out into their community, maybe. Nobody will find out. It won't hurt anybody if nobody knows. But we can't hide from God. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. Many of you probably pray for people in your life. Pray for those people to be released of bondages. Pray for people to be released of strongholds. Pray for people that you know that have outward sins, that they come to understand and know the gospel message of Christ. But be sure that God, as you pray, and you continue to pray for those people, or maybe you pray for yourself, that you not be tempted. It says in Scripture, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, if you take a frog and you throw it in a pan of boiling water, it will jump out, or at least try to jump out. But if you put it into a pan of room temperature water, the frog will just sit there, content. Now turn on the burner and allow the temperature of the water to rise slowly. I don't know if anybody's ever done this in here. The frog will just sit there, becoming accustomed to the heat. Maybe the frog, perhaps at some point, even says to himself, or the frog talks to himself and says, "Ah, jacuzzi." He will stay there until he boils to death. But that's the way strongholds and sins in our life and those around us do. At first we may be shocked by it, but then the more we entertain the thoughts, then it doesn't seem to be too bad. We begin to rationalize, we begin to justify why it's okay for us. We sit there in that pot of warm water and think to ourselves, you know, this is not too bad. Feels pretty good. It feels so good that we fall asleep in it, and when something finally wakes us up, if it ever does, the water is boiling over, boiling all around us. We're trapped. We become trapped in our strongholds. Getting rid of the frogs in our life begins with a decision. And sometimes I tell my own kids, you know, you make choices. You have decisions you make every day, every week, that not only affect you at that moment, but also affect you weeks and months and even years down the line. Now, that's a big responsibility for a young person to hear when they're just trying to figure out what color shirt to wear. But there are other decisions that are now getting thrown into our young people's lives now that they have to make that could affect them in a negative way down the road. We all have decisions to make. Everything begins with a decision. We have choices. The power to decide or to make decisions is the most powerful right given to mortal man. That lies the greatest of responsibility and the gravest of all accountability is the power of choice in our life. First, we must stop saying tomorrow. If you talk to my wife and you ask her, is Eric a procrastinator? She will shake her head yes at times. One thing I do not like to do is put up Christmas trees and Christmas decorations. I will say tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow. Why do today what you can put off tomorrow for tomorrow? But procrastination leads to infestation. If you'll tolerate one frog, maybe you will tolerate two, then three, then four, then five. Pharaoh didn't think that one more night could make that big of a difference, but it did. The frogs multiplied and multiplied until they were everywhere. He wanted to be in control. Pharaoh wanted to be in control. He wanted to dictate to God how it was going to be. His heart became harder and harder until eventually he lost it all. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring." We may not have tomorrow to deal with these frogs that are in our life today. Once again, this proves our inability to handle the problem presently. And it proves that we still think that those strongholds are in our control. That is the deception of sin, to make you feel like you have the power to start and stop as you please. Those frogs must be dealt with. We become tired of putting up a front. We see people every day that put up fronts in front of us, but eventually you become tired. Acting like everything is all right, like nothing is wrong. Facebook is a wonderful tool if it's done and handled correctly. But too often we see people either putting on a front that everything is okay, or they spill everything out there in their life. Now God knows everything. God knows all. People deal with frogs in different manners, in different ways. We have to stop putting up a front. If we see people that we can reach out to, it's a must. Sometimes that Facebook post that somebody puts up there, a scripture verse, is all some people need to get through the day. Sometimes that kind word, whether it be on Facebook or a text message or an email or a phone call, sometimes that kind word is all people need to get through the day or get through the week. If you feel that nudge at times, I encourage you to do it. You don't know who you're going to affect. You don't know who out there that you're around each day are dealing with strongholds in their life that need us, that need you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that guides us, that we're placed in the lives of people. After we say, not tomorrow, and we stop saying tomorrow, we must say today. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today I need your help. Today I need to repent. Today I need your touch. Today I need deliverance. Today." Where are the frogs in people's lives? Where are the frogs in our lives? Where are the frogs in the lives of our family and our friends and the people that we meet on a daily basis, whether it be in a store, at the checkout, that we see each day? Does your life, or do you know people that have lives that have a few messes that need cleaning? Is there an equivalent to a pile of frogs that are cluttering the spaces around us or to those loved ones that they can't seem to get rid of? Today, God awaits your call. Awaits your call upon the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Today is the day to deal with those strongholds. Today is the day to deal with those frogs, not tomorrow. They have hindered our walk. They have hindered those loved ones we have, their walk with God. They've hindered that walk with Christ long enough. It's time to rise above them. Put those strongholds or frogs under our feet or their feet with help. Stop procrastinating. See, we live in a chaotic world. And as I mentioned, we meet people every day that we don't know what's going on with them. Many people can put on a brave face and go out in the world and say, "I'm doing good today. Everything's gone well." While inside them, they're corroding away. And we don't know. But the power of the Holy Spirit is so tremendous. It's so powerful. That when you get a nudge to ask how somebody's doing, maybe in that checkout line, you get that power, that nudge to just reach out to somebody by text message and say, "How are you doing? How can I pray for you today?" I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they were shaking their head, and they're like, "I don't know when we will go back to normal." They were in fear that they would never be able to not have a mask anymore. They were in fear that they would not be able to go associate with other people in multitudes like they had done before. We're all tired, right? We're all tired of hearing numbers of certain things that are going on. All tired of hearing about people getting sick. We're tired of people hearing about the chaos that's going on around us. We're becoming to the point that we're becoming exhausted. We want it to end and go back to normal. We look upon leaders to tell us when things will go back to normal. But the chaos in the world, it doesn't matter if it goes back to the normal that we are used to. We serve a one true God. We place our faith in Jesus Christ each and every day. So we do not live in fear. So we don't live in a constant battle with our strongholds. So when we wake up in the morning, our new day, we have a new day with new blessings. We give thanks to God and give Him the praise. But we can pass it along to others now too. Jesus told us to go forth. He told us to go. Share the gospel message to those around you. There's many methods, many ways that we can do it. The strongholds that have people, they can be broken. I will attest to that. Strongholds can be broken. I've lived it and seen it done. Today is the day that if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, but today's the day to accept Him, but also to those around you to reach out. Show them the love of Christ. Show them what the kingdom of God, what it truly is. Not what they think it may be. God bless.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.